Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Bradblog.com, your friendly investigative citizen journalist, blogger, muckraker, troublemaker, joined by another one of those in a moment. Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel is going to be joining me. We're going to be taking your calls all this hour on, stuff like accountability. Remember that Dan Frumkin mentioned in his final column today when he was fired by the Washington Post because he was too damn good. He called it accountability journalism. While all of the wingnut right-wing liars get to stay at the Washington Post, the once-vital Washington Post, well, let's just say it is less so today. And, in fact, Dan Frumkin recognized Marcy Wheeler in his final column for her fine investigative blogging. Dan has always been, frankly, paying attention to the blogosphere while so many others were out there dismissing it. Credit where it's due, and we look forward to Dan's reemergence somewhere at some paper who will be far better off for his presence there. She's going to join us and take your calls on all manners of accountability. Bush accountability, yes, Obama accountability. She is independent, as am I. And, we call out the bad guys as we see them. Speaking of bad guys, very quickly, I want to play you this clip from Ann Coulter. It's on Fox News today, talking about cap and trade. And let me just give you a quick response. Well, here's what she had to say.
All right, Ann, let me start with you on this whole cap and trade situation. It looks like it will pass the House. What will happen in the Senate, and why did Al Gore not show up yesterday to talk about it?
He was too busy turning out the lights in his 8,000 square foot home, flying private someplace. With hypocrisy in the air right now, let's just talk about the real hypocrites.
Good. Let's talk about the real hypocrites. Ann Coulter, sitting there on Fox News today, sitting on Bill O'Reilly on Fox News last week, sitting on Glenn Beck's show the day before. Let's talk about hypocrisy. Let's talk about all of the hours that Fox News has spent on nonsense concerning Acorn, claiming voter fraud by Acorn, voter fraud that doesn't exist. Not one indictment, not one admission, not one charge of voter fraud by Acorn. Voter registration fraud, yes, but not by Acorn. By their employees, by their workers. This is, of course, the equivalent of someone who works at Walmart who goes out and shoots someone saying that Walmart is a murderer. No, it wasn't Acorn who was committing voter registration fraud. It was their workers. A handful of them, and the reason we even know about it is because Acorn themselves turned them in. Get it straight. No, Acorn did not commit voter fraud. Acorn did not even commit voter registration fraud. A couple of workers defrauded Acorn. Now, the reason I mention this in regard to Fox News and Ann Coulter is because she did commit voter fraud. She did commit voter fraud down in Florida. You can go to bradblog.com/coulterfraud and see the documents where she lied on her voter registration form, where she went and voted knowingly. And she was a constitutional attorney at one point. I notice she doesn't call herself that anymore. She was a constitutional attorney, and she lied on her voter registration form in Florida, and she knowingly voted at the wrong precinct in Florida. And the only reason she got off the hook is because her FBI, her former FBI boyfriend, called the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office, interceded, and said, she had to lie because she's being stalked by a guy named Dan Borchers, who is a Christian conservative and who happens to be a guest blogger at the Brad Blog. That got her off the hook there, but it didn't get her off the hook for the charges that were filed, the complaint that was filed in January of this year for voter fraud again by Ann Coulter in the state of Connecticut, and the state of Connecticut has now taken 5 months to look at these charges. Brad Blog spoke with them recently. They said that the case is still pending. They would not explain the reason for the length of time, because essentially it takes just there's two questions that need to be answered. Did Ann Coulter vote in Connecticut in 2002 and 2004, and was she living in New York City at the time? Was that her permanent residence? Pretty easy to establish, and in fact, the Connecticut State Elections Enforcement Commission has, in fact, come to completion on a very similar case, two Coulters, someone who voted illegally from New York, absentee, in just a matter of 2 or 3 months. Why is it taking Ann Coulter's case so long? Is she going to skate again? I don't know. I promise you, we will keep our eyes on it, but that's hypocrisy, Miss Coulter, Fox News, and the fact that you guys have her on and never, never ask her a question about her own voter fraud that she did commit over and over again. And, oh, yeah, you don't bring up the young political majors, the firm who's the head of the firm, pled guilty last week to voter registration fraud himself. Who is he? He was hired by the California GOP to do voter registration for Republicans, and in fact, his case in his company is alleged to have changed thousands of voter registrations from Democratic to Republican, and therefore Democrats showed up last year at the primaries and couldn't cast a vote. Fox News must have forgotten to talk about that. I spoke about it when I was on Fox News last October, right as this guy was arrested, and I gave a Fox News alert on the air. I suspect they wouldn't have covered it at all because they were too busy covering Acorn, which was, bunch of nonsense. All right. Got that out of my system. No nonsense here. Marcy Wheeler joins us, the master blogger. Should that be mistress blogger? I don't know. Master blogger, otherwise known as Empty Wheel, over at her great blog, Empty Wheel. She's the author of Anatomy of Deceit, How the Bush Administration Used the Media to Sell the Iraq War. Did they really? Who knew? Marcy, you were, as I said, appropriately recognized today in Frumkin's final column for your fine investigative blogging. I concur. Welcome to the Molloy Show, Marcy. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
You bet. Now, before we get to things that actually matter, and I should mention, 2 points. One, this is now a Michael Jackson-free zone. And two, we have an open thread at Brad Blog. You can stop on by there and discuss the show, and I'll try to keep my eyes on it. And I'm also trying to keep my eyes on the open thread over at DU, the Truth Seekers hanging out there. Okay, that's it. Here's the easy question, Marcy. Why Empty Wheel? What the hell does that mean?
My middle initial is T.
Uh-huh.
M-T.
Oh, brilliant.
But everyone thinks it's all Zen, which kind of makes it six times a Zen.
You're right. Very cool. Okay, thank you for getting that out of the way. Now, a couple of breaking news today out of the White House, and we'll beat up on Obama in a moment. But I picked up on something you wrote today about torture. Because you've been great in plowing through these legal documents of all kinds, whether it's on torture, Valerie Plame, anything else. And let me just read something you quoted from the president concerning torture. Here's what you highlighted. A statement from the president says, I call on all governments to join with the United States and the community of law-abiding nations in prohibiting, investigating, and prosecuting all acts of torture. No people, no matter where they reside, should have to live in fear of their own government. Nowhere should the midnight knock foreshadow a nightmare of state-commissioned crime. Strong statement. It's good to hear the president say that, but there's a hitch here, isn't there, Marcy?
2003.
George W. Bush.
The president said that in 2003, and Bush said that within weeks, maybe days, before he signed. After he said that publicly, the CIA kind of lost it and said, hold on a second, we're torturing for you. How can you go out there and say we're going to prosecute torturers? So they forced him to sign what was then the very first document, policy document, saying, yeah, the White House approves of all the torture they're doing, you know, overseas and what have you. Amazing words, but of course, completely a lie. But what do you expect from George Bush?
And this was a public statement, right? This convention, because today, I should point out, as you did, today marks the anniversary of the Convention Against torture. This is the UN 1984 convention, was it?
Yeah, it's the 25th. It went into action 22 years ago.
And at the time, Reagan signed it originally,
right.
And he was very tough on the idea of torture and accountability, wasn't he?
Right. I mean, this goes back to, you know, what the Republicans claim they used to be, but no longer.
And as a matter of fact, George Bush himself also said just before he launched war on Iraq, you remember the video, and I don't have it here at my fingertips, but he had said that war crimes will not be tolerated, war criminals will be prosecuted, and using your using the excuse that you were just following orders will not get you off the hook.
Well, and that what you just read, that same statement, what I clipped out, Bush was talking about Saddam Hussein, the evil torturer. So he was using the fact that Saddam Hussein tortured as his reason to go into Iraq in June 2003 when we were beginning to lose the war over there.
And how do you explain then, I guess, well, just to somewhat turn the page, you then quote what our current president had to say today in marking the, 25 years ago, you're right. He said, Barack Obama said, 25 years ago, the United Nations General Assembly adopted the Convention Against Torture, and 22 years ago this very day, the convention entered into force. The United States' leading role in the negotiation of the convention and its subsequent ratification and implementation enjoyed strong bipartisan support. Okay. So he's recognizing we have this convention. How does he square that circle, Marcy, that he does not appear to be taking any action and has said he wants to look forward, not back?
Well, and I'll read from further in the quote. The United States will continue to cooperate with governments and civil society organizations throughout the international community in the fight to end torture. To this end, I have requested today that the Department of State solicit information from all of our diplomatic missions around the world about effective policies and programs for stopping torture. The Department of State, not the Department of Justice. So what the president is doing after, in the middle of the United States exposing that it has been torturing since 2002, the president is saying, here's how we're going to solve it. We're going to go to the Department of State and have them continue to make reports about all of the other torturers out here, but we're not going to look at ourselves. We're not
going
to go to the Department of Justice, who is the single most important agency in deterring and punishing torture.
Much more on this straight ahead with Marcy Wheeler. Give us a call if you'd like to get in a question. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Not Mike's usual number. You got to use that one. Brad Friedman in for Malloy with Marcy Wheeler. Much more after this. Wow, that's some angry music there, Tony. I like it. Good job. Brad Friedman in for Malloy, speaking with Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel. I ran way long on my last segment. My apologies, Marcy, so we're going to have a short one here, but then we'll have plenty of time for your calls, everyone's calls, after the bottom of the hour here. Give us a shout, 877-520-1150. We're talking about accountability, crime, stuff like that. And since this is such a tiny segment here before we have to go to the break, let's jump over to the other side of the aisle for a second. Monica Conyers pleads guilty. Monica Conyers? Who's that, Marcy Wheeler?
Monica is John Conyers' wife. She is did not resign today, even though she pled guilty,
mm-hmm.
A city council member she was president pro tem after Kwame Kilpatrick stepped down. So she was a fairly serious, senior city council member, but mm-hmm. She admitted
in Detroit,
that she
right?
had, in Detroit. Yeah, so it's and actually the scandal that this is involved with also looks to implicate Kwame and his father as well. So it's everybody. I mean, it's Detroit.
What did she admit to?
Accepting a bribe to switch her vote about a waste contract that the city was getting into. So she was going to vote against it. They gave her money, and she flipped her vote.
Now,
Oh, no, go ahead.
Go ahead, Marcy.
It became clear about a year ago or sometime last year that the investigation was headed towards her and towards Kwame and his father. So it's been a while in coming, and she's been in plea deal negotiations, I think, for 2 weeks with the feds, and that's where we're at.
Now, does this take away the moral high ground for the U.S. House Judiciary Chair John Conyers, who attended a forum this morning on accountability, calling for the Department of Justice to investigate political prosecutions over the last 8 years by the Bush administration? He was there, I believe. He was scheduled to show up this morning. I don't know if he was there or not. Does it hurt his moral authority in this matter?
I'm not entirely sure, and I've been thinking about that for quite a while. It kind of popped up when Jennifer Granholm was under consideration to be the SCOTUS appointee, the Supreme Court justice nominee. Mm-hmm. And Conyers actually very publicly withdrew his recommendation for Granholm, saying she's endorsed this U.S. attorney or assistant U.S. attorney, and it's a terrible person. Mm-hmm. And it never became clear who the U.S. attorney was, but my immediate take, and that of several other people, because I'm in Michigan, was, is this related to Monica Conyers' investigation? Beyond that, you know, it's clear there were politicized prosecutions under Bush. This doesn't appear to be one, but, I don't know whether it taints Conyers. I really don't.
All right, we'll get your opinion on that. 877-520-1150. Brad in for Malloy. More with Marcy Wheeler right after this. Now he's in a rock and roll outfit, and everything's all right. Don't you know?
Johnny told his mama, you're going to love this. Just love it.
Mike Malloy here, interrupting Brad Friedman's most excellent program. Wait, it's my program, and Brad is filling in. Uh-oh, but he's so good at this. Hey, I'll be back June 29th, and not a moment too soon.
What does he mean by that, not a moment too soon? He'll be back Monday. We're here today, 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Stuck in the middle with you. No place I would rather be with you and with Marcy Wheeler of the great Empty Wheel. You can check out her blog at emptywheel.firedoglake.com. All right, we're going to get to your calls in a second. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. But before we get to those calls, Marcy, you have been working your fingers to the bone for years on this Valerie Plame case. We had news last week that the Supreme Court denied Joe and Valerie Wilson's appeal, essentially, to have their case heard. Give me the quick rundown on why their case was thrown out in the first place and if they have any recourse hereafter.
Their case was basically thrown out because the original judge ruled that there was another way for Valerie to have gotten some kind of some kind of recourse, and she didn't use that and therefore couldn't go after the legal means that they were doing in this case. And as well, there was an earlier Supreme Court decision this year which said you need to be very specific about what a government official did to you if you want to get over the bar to be able to sue them, because otherwise they have protection. And it's not that surprising that the original ruling was upheld at the appeals court and at the Supreme Court. It was a tough case to make, and I'm not sure the case was originally made as strongly as it should have been. And no, they don't have recourse at this point. I mean, they have no way of getting any kind of, you know, reimbursement or anything from Cheney and the others who ruined her career. There is one kind of good piece of news, and it's that Judge Sullivan in Washington, D.C., sounds like he is very skeptical of the government's efforts to keep Cheney's FBI interview materials secret. And you'll recall that he was interviewed as part of the investigation, and it was not a grand jury interview, which means it is not protected by grand jury secrecy at all, and therefore should be FOIA-able. It should be releasable as is. And Mukasey and then the Obama administration have said, oh, golly, we can't give this to you because if we do, then vice presidents won't cooperate in criminal investigations in the future, which is a load of horse dung, in my opinion.
Was this where they made the argument that if this is released, that Jon Stewart will make fun of it on the Daily Show? This was one of the reasons?
Yeah, and the First Amendment in this country is about what? It's about, you know, having the ability to make fun or to criticize our elected and unelected leaders, as you would say, unelected,
right,
in this case, when they do terrible things. And, you know, what I suspect is in that, what I don't suspect, given when that interview happened, it happened in probably early June 2004. I don't suspect that Fitzgerald just came out and asked Dick Cheney, did you order Scooter Libby to leak Valerie Plame's identity to Judy Miller? That's what all of the evidence suggests happened. I suspect he kind of went about that question a little less directly, saying, you know, did you order Scooter Libby to leak the NIE to Judy Miller? Scooter Libby says it may have been Judy Miller, but the evidence wasn't all, and we didn't have the evidence from Judy Miller that she had in fact been leaked the identity. So, it'll be damning if and when it comes out.
Well, I hope that Judge Sullivan is properly skeptical of this argument that we can't release it because guys like Jon Stewart will make fun of it on The Daily Show. Hope he's not buying that nonsense. But, you know, is there any chance that even if this material is released, I don't think that Patrick Fitzgerald ever, did he officially close the investigation, or didn't he somehow leave the door open that if something comes up that it could be revisited?
Yeah, he left the door open, and then the other thing that we got this week is that Crewe, or actually it was 2 weeks ago, Crewe got some of the documents relating to the missing White House emails.
Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Okay, go
right.
ahead.
Right, and it happens to be the same entity which took the lawsuit for the Wilsons, but the White House emails were not definitely connected to the Plame investigation, but what we got 2 weeks ago made it really clear that they are. The most interesting thing I found is that right after Rove kind of pulled this email that he had sent to Stephen Hadley out of his hat as his excuse for all of a sudden remembering that he had spoken to Matt Cooper.
Which seems to have gotten him off the hook at the last second from his indictments.
It ended up getting him off the hook.
Right.
But, of course, that hadn't been turned over in the initial searches. The night that he testified, that Rove testified, and so the night that Fitzgerald got those emails, somebody went in and in the middle of the night was doing searches through Stephen Hadley's emails. And they looked very suspicious. They
really?
Looked like somebody, because anybody had access, anybody in the White House had access to these email, basically, logs. And it, you know, it looked very suspicious. You can kind of track who was, you know, like, there was a search for Novak emails 10 days after Novak had given a third or fourth or fifth deposition to Fitzgerald in fall of 2004. So you can kind of track when the official searches were coming in, but that Hadley one looked really, really dicey.
Well, it seems a long shot at best, but there remains a chance, I suppose, that somehow this could get reopened. But otherwise, I mean, it's looking to me that, you know, with they shut down Valerie and Joe Wilson's case, Scooter Libby essentially walked because Bush let him go. They could never get a Cheney. We know for a fact that they outed a covert agent, the CIA asset, which George Bush's own father had called one of the most insidious of crimes years ago. It looks like there will be no accountability for that historic crime that has never occurred in this country before.
Well, and the reason it's important, too, is because the model that Cheney used in outing Valerie Plame is the same model that he used in implementing torture. And so I can tell you that except for some of the things that Cheney said to Congress later in the process, 2005, 2006, when he was trying to talk them into keeping torture legal, I can tell you that Cheney is going to be similarly firewalled from what he did as he was in outing Valerie Plame, so that unless somebody like David Addington decides to flip and out Cheney's role or somebody else, I suspect that, you know, you can go after the John Hughes of the world. You can maybe get to John Rizzo, the lawyer in the CIA. You can maybe get to
the attorneys who allowed all of this to happen, essentially, by writing these nonsense memos that let this stuff move forward.
Right, and the attorneys, Rizzo, in his case, somebody represented to Department of Justice that Abu Zubaydah wouldn't speak except with torture. We now know that was a lie. And so if we can hold people responsible for those lies. But I don't, you know, again, I think we're going to find out that Cheney really firewalled himself with really incredibly loyal people who will do what Scooter Libby did, which was take the fall.
It would be really nice to have some accountability. That's not revenge. That's accountability. That's holding people accountable for crimes and every crime. When Obama said, we don't want to look forward, we don't want to look back, we want to look forward. Crimes, by their nature, you have to look back. I robbed a bank yesterday, so I would be looking back if I was prosecuted. Let me get to a call. Glenda in Claremont, California. Glenda, you have a thought for Marcy Wheeler.
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to know, how does she spell that M-T wheel?
Is opposite it E-M-T of full wheel.
Huh?
E-M-P-T-Y. So opposite of full.
E-M-T-T-Y.
T as in Peter, T as in Tom, Y.
E-M-P-T-T-Y or E-M-T-T-Y?
Empty, like the word empty. Emptywheel.firedoglake.com. You'll find her there.
Okay, empty wheel, run together.
Yep.
Okay, well, let me make a quick comment on the Valerie Plame situation. As long as Obama is shielding and his Injustice Department, his new Injustice Department is going to shield these crooks, then it's going to be like a rat on a wheel. You can't present a case because, gee, we can't give you the evidence. Well, why can't you give me the evidence? Because it's secret, state secrets. It'll endanger national security. So you go round and round and round. I am so disgusted with Obama, I cannot begin to tell you. But let me ask you this. This was another question.
Very quickly.
I thought she said that Obama was using the same language as Bush on torture. And I want to bring up, let her answer that in a minute.
No, I got to give you, give me one question from Marcy. I got to move on, Glenda. I'm sorry.
That's the question, because on Angry Arab.blogspot.com, we found out that he was actually using Bush's exact language on the Middle East.
Thanks, Glenda. I appreciate that. Is Obama using the same justifications for this stuff, Marcy?
You know, he's going to call it indefinite detention. He's going to come up with a new euphemism for it. But I have to say, the statement today that we were reading earlier in the show was one of the most frustrating things I've seen from him. Just to suggest that you would go after torture with the State Department and not the Justice Department, or the Injustice Department, as your caller called it, is absolutely ludicrous. And it just spits in the, you know, spits in the face of the entire notion of justice. And so it's very hard. You know, I understand that he's trying to close Gitmo. I understand that he's fighting with Congress over doing just that. But it's very hard to take him very seriously when he comes out with this farcical statement and says, I'll put the State Department in charge of getting rid of torture.
Yep, it's real damn frustrating. All of this is, we're taking your calls, 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. If you have a question for the great Marcy Wheeler, Brad in for Malloy, take a quick break. More of your calls right after this. One day she and I, she'd go for a ride. With a pistol and a sword by her side. She'd roll right up to my front door.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing.
Oh, boy. Will anybody ever go to jail? This Bush administration, most corrupt in history. And, boy, it looks like these guys are going to walk. Let me get to a call. We're joined with, give us a call. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Don't call Mike Malloy's regular number. He ain't going to answer. He's in Florida. He'll be back Friday. Feel free to give us a call. And by the way, he'll be back Monday. Thank you. And we will take your calls even if you disagree with us. We can handle it. I can. I'm sure Marcy can. Marcy Wheeler from Empty Wheel joins me for our last few minutes here. Marcy, you want to get to another call here?
Sure.
All right. Eric in Long Beach, California. Welcome to the Malloy Show. Eric, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brad, Marcy. Thanks for taking the call. Real quick, military tribunals come under military law. Military law was written specifically for the Department of Defense that used to be called the Department of War. After World War II in 46-47, it was converted to the Department of Defense because of the Geneva Conventions that outlawed aggressive wars. Title 10, which is for the Department of Defense, that incorporates the Uniform Code of Military Justice that was written specifically for DOD, has been moved out of DOD, Department of Defense, and into Homeland Security.
Can you phrase that in the form of a question, Eric?
Well, and I don't know if Marcy's aware of this or if you are, Brad, but what they've done is they've taken military law out of the Department of Defense that it was written for and are now using it in Homeland Security.
All right. Thanks for that thought. Marcy, have any thoughts on that? I'm not sure what to make of it.
I'm not sure exactly what to make of it, but I think under Bush, you saw this kind of conflation of what had been intelligence, what had been investigative, and what had been defense-related, and they all became one, and that's where our legal problems started. And this, you know, this is, again, more of the same, but then you also have to worry about how this is going to get applied to domestic people who are so-called terrorists unless they want to bomb abortion clinics or go after federal judges.
Yeah. Have you heard any of the right-wingers who were so in favor of torture before because of this supposed ticking time bomb fantasy that they all had? Have you heard any of those right-wingers calling for the torture of Scott Roeder, who shot George Tiller, the doctor in Kansas, in the head, and then said that there are further attacks planned, the actual ticking time bomb scenario that these cowardly wingnuts were so worried about? Have you heard any of them calling for the waterboarding of Scott Roeder, Marcy?
Not a peep.
How odd. Who would have thunk it? Well, speaking of sort of messing with the laws here, in what Obama did in ordering this indefinite detention, essentially, he's come up with basically five different ways to deal with these Guantanamo prisoners. And when he can't get them either by a criminal trial, a military tribunal, a transfer to another country, releasing them entirely, he'll just indefinitely detain them. It seems like the president is trying to have it all ways. I think Glenn Greenwald said that basically they're only going to bring these guys to court if they know they can win. That doesn't seem to be playing fair, does it?
Yeah, well, and I think, I mean, the one person that they have brought to court, or that is in court right now, the big name, Gailani, is somebody who they had indicted for, I hope I get this right, for the African bombings.
Uh-huh.
And so it was all pre-torture. And it's sort of telling that they only can bring one person so far, and everything else has been tainted by torture. But even in that Daphna Linzer has a breaking story out tonight about the Obama administration thinking they're going to do this via executive order, which is nuts. And she, at the very end of her story, and it's very interesting, she says that they are thinking of Walid bin Attash as the kind of person who would be a candidate, if I hate to use that word, but the kind of person who would be the kind of person that they would, you know, use indefinite detention for. And there's all sorts of problems with it because, they're partly saying, well, we can't bring him to any kind of justice because the evidence we have against him came from al-Nashiri, one of the three people who was waterboarded. But when you look closer at it, it seems like their problem has as much to do with their partners overseas and the evidence that they were getting from them on the coal bombing in 2000, and that this indefinite detention is going to cover up not just torture, but the fact that our allies were unwilling to work with us on investigating the coal bombing.
Well, with 30 seconds here, Marcy, if we don't have the evidence, or if the evidence is tainted, even folks that we believe to be dangerous, what do? Let them go?
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, I think that in this case, I mean, Walid bin Attash, they do have evidence, or they did say they had evidence on him for the African bombings. So why not just try him on the African bombings rather than insisting on getting him for the coal bombings and through this crazy illegal means?
Well, yeah, fair enough, but there's a whole bunch of other ones that are sitting there facing that same question. Never enough time with Marcy Wheeler. Marcy Wheeler, Empty Wheel of the Empty Wheel blog, emptywheel.firedoglake.com. Thanks for spending your late Friday night out there with us, Marcy. Always great to talk to you. Thanks for all of your good work.
Thanks a ton, Brad.
You bet. All right, much more straight ahead, and your calls at 877-520-1150. Brad, in for Malloy. Final hour coming up. Stay with us.